For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
'93 500cc world champ. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
All right, welcome back to the show. Hey, shout out to all of our men and women of law enforcement, and surely those that serve our country, no matter the uniform they wear or where they serve. You guys are always in our thoughts and our prayers, and we appreciate your service. Thank you very much. And did I say firefighters as well? Did you see this story, Jack? Des Moines police officers were called to assist in traffic and whatnot around a fire in a neighborhood here in Des Moines where our home studios are.
Yep.
And they were throwing little children out the window to get them away from the fire.
Yep, they did that and caught each of them, got them on the ground. They were fine.
And what's cool, these four officers, I think, are going to get some kind of a commendation. They should.
Yes, they
should. But they saved those little babies, and congratulations to, and a recognition, tip of the cap, if you will, to the...
How many stories did they throw these kids down?
Three.
Three stories.
They threw
babies, and they caught them, and they aren't...
Got you. You bet. They caught them.
That's what's amazing, because you can see the body cams of these babies coming at these officers.
And then what did the cops do? They jump out too, or what?
The cops were on the ground waiting for their babies to be thrown to them by the parents.
Oh, the parents threw them.
Yeah. Yes.
10-4, I get it. What about the parents?
They had to go in and get them, but they got them.
Yeah.
Nobody was hurt in that fire.
That was
God.
Amazing, too, because you could see the fire coming out the windows bad.
Yeah.
So, again, tip of the cap to our...
That was here in town, huh?
Yeah. Men and women of law enforcement. It was an early morning fire.
Like about 3, 3.30
in
the morning.
Yeah, 3.30 in the morning.
That's not early morning. That's middle of the night.
Well, for some. For some people,
depends
like those cops,
guess
what?
Night,
morning.
Or a Saturday night or a Wednesday night, I guess.
Welcome back to the show. It is Pit Pass Motor Racing Weekly, part of the Evergreen podcast system, if you will. I do want to thank our friends Tommy Boy Halverson, Chris Bishop, Jack and Leon De Leon, as always, producing this very program. I'm Scott Casper for Tony Wink. And PJ, I understand we'll be back again next week. But he had some business to attend to. This portion of our show brought to you by Fly Racing and their light hydrogen line, the very first true light racewear to the market and the original gear line to define the minimalist effort. Now, lightweight, you bet. They got that going on in spades. But when you're first to the market, what do you have to do, Tony? You got to do what?
Got to keep it pinned.
What? Stay on the gas. Fly continues to develop and improve their premium gear with the addition of the BOA system, which I really think is super smart. This revolutionary waist adjustment system offers fast, on-the-fly micro-adjustability with a truly dialed-in fit. A simple turn of the dial delivers unparalleled performance, comfort, and convenience. Those are all things riders, you know, desperately need and crave. So, yeah, we're going to invite you to check out Fly online. Go to flyracing.com. Ask for it at a dealer near you. Tony?
All right, our next guest is Jake Johnson, another very fast road racer, and he finished 8th overall in the American Flat Track Twins last year with 11 top 10 finishes, including 2 podiums and a win at the Buffalo Chip. He joins us now. What's up, Jake? How are you?
Hey, what's happening? How you guys doing?
We're fine, other than Scott. I mean, we're doing great. it's nice to have one of my favorite flat track guys on the show, and I don't know if I say that off air normally, but I'm pretty big Jake Johnson.
Sure you are. Sure you are. JJ.
You can call him JJ if you want. I'm gonna call him Jake Johnson.
Okay.
Yeah. How's it going so far, bud?
Oh, not bad. Not bad. Obviously, Daytona went fairly well for us. Came out of there with third.
Mm-hmm.
You know, third place. Was hoping for better, but kind of somewhat of a new team, new bike, come out on the podium. But track was tough too. So come out of there in third was good. And, you know, we had round two this past weekend in Atlanta, and I can say that I, you know, stunk the place up. came home.
That's honesty, right?
Whopping
16th place. Sucks, Jake.
So, yeah. Hmm. Yeah, that was hero to zero real quick.
Talk about it. What's different? What happened? What happened?
I think it's just some growing pains. Like I said, you know, with Essenson Racing again this year, I was with them last year, but this year it's kind of you know, same, you know, team name, team owner, but basically a whole new crew. We got, you know, five riders on the team, some brand new Yamaha MT-07 DTs. So kind of developing a new bike. And, you know, Daytona, you know, last couple years, I mean, most of my career I've always been a pretty good TT guy. So, you know, was able to, you know, do well there. And Atlanta, who was a pretty slippery short track, and just had trouble getting the thing to hook up and go forward. But we kind of didn't expect that going into it, but we knew that was going to be one of the tracks that was going to be one of our toughest, and it sure was. So like I said, we learned a bunch, stunk the place up, but going to keep moving forward and keep trying to make this Yamaha go faster and faster.
Obviously, Yamaha being the title sponsor of that event, I'm sure they had, you know, high hopes of a better finish, and I know you certainly did as a racer. We know you can, though. We've seen it over the years. Jake Johnson's not a new name in flat track. The MT-07 looks super cool, I think. And you showed that in Daytona it works. So what's it take to make that bike run at the front with the Indians?
Just have to get some traction. Daytona was, for whoever saw it, it was unique. You know, half the track was asphalt, you know, half was dirt. It wasn't too technical of a racetrack as far as design. You know, it was kind of just basically two straightaways with, you know, one was asphalt, one was dirt, and there was a jump in the middle of the one of them. But, you know, it was bumpy, rough, you know, kind of technical in that aspect. So, it kind of separated the field a little bit. And, I think it was one of those tracks where setup didn't mean as much. I mean, you know, for us on these twins, on TTs, jumping them and turning left, right, and I mean, to be honest, none of them are that good for what we're trying to do with them. So, I like to believe that just rider ability, kind of stands out on those kinds of tracks. A place like Atlanta, you know, slippery and just hard. Hard to go, you know, forward. It's one of them tracks where, the harder you try, the slower you go. So, and I was apparently trying way too hard.
So you're saying it's like self-defeating, right? I mean, you have to race a smart race as well, and then you combine that with intermittent speed, and that's how you win a race, right?
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, like I said, like that, you know, Atlanta, it was, if I had nobody in front of me, I could be calm and smooth and, you know, put in some decent laps. Like, you know, I qualified okay. I think I qualified 10th or something like that. As soon as the adrenaline started going and you had guys in front of you trying to pass you, the throttle hand got a little too fast and, had some smoke rolling off the tire. So, like I said, I think there were some things that, I could have done better. There's things that, you know, I think we need to improve on the bike, but it's, you know, it's still early, you know, only the second race on it. And, like I said, we kind of knew going into it that was going to be one of our toughest. So I think we have some good tracks coming up, Texas half mile, you know, that could be a little challenging for us. That could be really similar to Atlanta, but, we have that crazy Wild Horse TT coming up. What do we got? Then we got Paris half mile, you know, and then we get in the miles where I think that, that Yamaha is really going to shine.
So, is it fast?
It's fast. Yeah. Yeah. It's fast. But, you know, I think that's, one thing that kind of hurt us, you know, at Atlanta. It's just, you know, that was the type of track where you needed a little John Deere tractor to, you know, just kind of chug around there and get the power down and just build momentum where, you know, I think, you know, in a sense, I think maybe we had a little bit too much power. The thing, you know, when that thing puts the tire to the ground and gets a hold of it, it goes in a hurry. So
is that something, Jake, where you can just change the throttle cam and, you know, slow the bike down, or not slow down, but, you know, as a rider, you being a guy that's a veteran that's been there and done that, is it something where you can recognize, hey, I'm a little excited or whatever, and the thing's got crazy motor. I got a crazy, you know, tons of motor underneath me. Put a slower, you know, a lazy throttle cam or something like that on it, or am I just sounding stupid here?
No, that definitely helps.
Because that's usually Scott's job.
Hey.
No, we definitely play with that kind of stuff. I mean, that's kind of a quick little easy thing you can change, you know, in between sessions or you know, in between heat race and main event or something. Just kind of, not say a Band-Aid, but, you know, just kind of something to help you out. But, you know, we played a lot with a lot of that on Saturday, you know, with ignition mapping and things, trying to mellow the bike out and make it, you know, as easy to ride as possible. You know, but, like, you know, unfortunately we had the next day to, you know, AFT kind of held an open test, the following day. So we learned a lot there. It's, you know, it's hard on race day for us because it's, you know, we have basically 12, you know, basically 5 laps of practice. And then we go straight into qualifying, you know, 2 5 lap rounds and, you know, 1 10 lap semi and a main event. So, you know, you can make changes and things, but you don't want to stray too far from what you have and you know, totally mess up your night. So
sure. Can you get,
try to creep up a little bit of on race day, but, without taking too big a risk. So I feel like that's kind of what happened. We were making changes, but we were a little scared to, you know, to really kind of screw ourselves. But, you know, we were apparently there anyway.
Can you, have you got some places where you can test coming into it where you're like, all right, let's, you know, and testing is a tedious thing. It always, you know, for people that don't know, that haven't been there and done that, it's a long day to make very, very, very small gains.
Yeah.
And, you know, and sometimes it's finding the correct facility to be able to do that, to simulate the race conditions that you guys are going to go out there and have to compete in isn't that easy unless you're going racing on a Saturday night.
Yeah, for sure. I think, you know, testing in flat track is fairly new. I mean, over the last 5-6 years or so, you know, there's a little more money and teams have budgets to do it, but I feel it's probably one of the hardest to go test. You know, like you said, it's, you know, you on a race day, you got, you know, 80, 100 motorcycles going around it, lay a groove down, you know. When you go test, you know, it's either by yourself or, you know, you got a couple teammates.
Yeah, you're not simulating race day. You're working on points. I mean, certain things.
One thing that I've known, living here in the Midwest in Iowa, where the sprint car capital world is right down the street from us, a sprint car actually can work a track in pretty quickly, put down some good rubber for a groove track, and I've seen guys do it for testing purposes. And it's pretty interesting some of the things that the guys can do if they know what they're...
But not for a dirt bike track.
Yeah, for a flat track, they do. Yeah, it works pretty well.
Oh, for a flat track. You're right. I'm sorry. I can actually, that makes good sense. And Knoxville, if you think about it, that dirt is absolutely perfect.
It is good
for flat track racing. It yep. absolutely is. Up against the clock, dude. Who do you want to thank? Sponsors.
Oh yeah, I got to of course thank Essence and Racing. You know, they've stepped up huge this year. Got a
cool
big operation going, and You know, Monster Energy came on board. We got Yamalube, Yamaha Racing, S&S, Fly, WPS, Dainese, Motion Pro, Vortex, Pilot Flying J, TrueLine, Utility Trailers, McCandless Truck Center, Rye Helmet, CD Boots, Five Gloves, and, of course, the Light Shoe. Keep my foot gliding across that dirt every weekend. So, yeah.
Love it.
Couldn't do it without all those guys. And, yeah, I was just going to keep fighting and try to get that Yamaha moving forward.
Get after him, bud. Do it.
Thanks, guys.
Jake Johnson's been our guest. Jake, thank you.
Yeah, thank you. Anytime.
Great conversation. If you missed any part of the show, go back and grab it. Bobby Fong, Evan Smith was not on this week. We will rebook him. Tegan Temple was on. Brandon Robinson, Jake Johnson. A special interview coming up. You're going to want to listen. It'll be after the break. Stay tuned. You're listening to Pit Pass.
Hi, this is Ed Moreland. You're listening to Pit Pass Radio.
Hi, listeners. We wanted to take a moment to tell you about another podcast from Evergreen Podcasts and Sound Talent Media called Pit Lane Parlay. Pit Lane Parlay is the go-to podcast for IndyCar and motorsports-related news. Each episode, we discuss things like our favorite drivers, news clips from the last week, and generally giving each other a hard time about predictions we've made in the past and or life stories that have come up recently. We really have a lot of fun with it and really enjoy each other's company, and we hope you can come join us too. Join Pit Lane Parlay by following us on your favorite podcast today.